from Sunburst Media Productions and Refuge Productions. This is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 co-hosts are Mark Skogman and Bruce Wright. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work. Hello and welcome to Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 23rd of September, 2013. This is Mark Skogman.
And this is Bruce Wright.
On today's program, we have a live interview with Kevin Zeese. You're going to love this. We're going to discuss the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the efforts to stop that terrible trade treaty. We're also going to have the start of a three-part series featuring John Nichols. John Nichols lives in Madison, Wisconsin, and Washington, D.C. He's a contributing writer for The Nation magazine. He's actually their Washington correspondent, also a contributing or associate editor of the Capital Times in Madison, Wisconsin. We have a recent speech that he did on August 10th, 2013, a Saturday in Madison, Wisconsin, to the Progressive Democrats of America. Very interesting perspective on money and politics, the current state of politics in the country, the two major parties as it relates to the progressive movement in this country. And we're also going to have a great poem by a local artist named Tom Earle. And we're going to play for you tonight, Dark Like the Contradiction of the Word Itself. And we'll have other segments as well. It's going to be a great program. I'm excited. We're going to have fun. We've done a lot of work to get this program ready for you, so I certainly hope that you enjoy it. And Bruce, do you have some people to recognize here that are supporting the program?
Yes, yes. We have a few people we'd like to recognize right now, and you'll hear more from some of our sponsors later in the show. First of all, we'd like to thank The Refuge. You can reach them at 727-278-1547, a nonprofit that works with the homeless.
Doing we'd also great like work to for thank years.
The Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. They can be reached at economichumanrights.org. More to come on them later in the next several weeks as the World Court on Women and Regarding Poverty will be coming forward. We also like to thank the local Veterans for Peace Chapter 119, who can be found on Facebook. And lastly, Gennaro's Coffee House, 1047 Central Avenue North. They can be reached at 727-202-6956. Every Monday night, they have documentary films at 8 p.m., and poetry on Saturday nights with Mona Lisa, Saturday nights at 8:30 p.m. More to come later. We're now excited, and Mark's going to give a little introduction to have a special guest with us. He is on the phone, right? Okay, wonderful. Kevin Zeese is someone I've known for some time, and I'm really proud to have him on our show. I'm going to let Mark introduce you to him.
Yes, Kevin Zeese, he directs It's Our Economy. He's an attorney. He's been a political activist since graduating from George Washington Law School in 1980. He works on peace, economic justice, criminal law reform, and reviving American democracy. He advocates for democratizing the economy as co-director of It's Our Economy. He works to oppose war and shrink the military budget through Come Home America. He's also been active in independent and third-party political campaigns, including for state legislative offices in Maryland, governor of California, and U.S. president. And Kevin Zeese also serves as president of Common Sense for Drug Policy. He is a co-founder of the Drug Policy Foundation, now known as the Drug Policy Alliance. And I'd like to add a personal note as well, Bruce. I think I'm reading your mind. I think you're going to say the same thing that I was going to say. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say he is also a member of the Green Shadow Cabinet, of which I'm a member also. He may mention something about that was formed by former presidential candidate Jill Stein and vice presidential candidate Sherry Hankala. And he was amongst the planners of the October 2011 occupation at Freedom Plaza happening during the whole Occupy movement.
In Washington, D.C.
That's right. And it's
all
now,
three of us were there.
Yes, we were. And it's now about 2 years old, the whole Occupy movement. So we may talk about that. But tonight, I know we're going to try to have some discussion about a very important issue that I know Kevin is currently working on, and that's the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yes.
Kevin, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being on, Kevin. First of all, let me ask you a question, if I would, because a lot of people don't know even know what the Trans-Pacific Partnership is. So maybe you could tell us about that.
Well, it's the largest, it's called a trade agreement, but it's much more than a trade agreement. The largest trade agreement
yes.
In the last 15 years, and it's going to affect every aspect of people's lives, from food to water to the environment to your wages. You pick it, internet access, it's all going to be affected by this. It's a global corporate coup where the corporations are working through this international trade negotiation to get what they can't get through Congress. And and they're going to do it through this trade negotiation. And they've been negotiating this thing in secret now for about 4 years, President Obama has. And they have 19 rounds of negotiations, and it's amazing that most people have not heard of it, but that's because the media is not covering it. Politicians are not talking about it because they know if people knew what was in this agreement, they would oppose it and it would never become law. And that's why they're doing a secret approach. And we tried to expose it today. If you go to our activist movement website, popularresistance.org, which is a great place to just keep up to date on what's happening in political movements that are challenging the rule of money and the corporate power, popularresistance.org, we have several articles about what we did today. We took over the building of the U.S. Trade Representative and plastered it with gigantic banners, four gigantic banners. And we were able to get these banners up, get photos and video and images of it that we could share around the world to show people around the world that Americans are opposed to this trade agreement. And to educate Americans about this trade agreement, to get, especially the activist community, because we can stop this agreement. We have the ability to stop this. We have the power to stop this if we want to.
Yes, absolutely.
And so you'll be amazed by these pictures. It's worth checking out these. We scaled, luckily there was scaffolding on the side of the building. We scaled it and we dropped one 10 by 40 foot banner, another two 5 by 20 foot banners.
Wow.
Another 10 by 25 foot banner. I mean, so we just covered their, to highlight their secret agreement, we covered their building with protests about it.
Excellent. So that is so good.
Making what is in secret known to the public. It's amazing to me how these kind of trade agreements rise. And of course, we know from many years ago with the World Trade Organization and the protests that happened around the IMF World Bank and have continued since that trade agreements are by nature something that the those involved in putting them together don't want the public to know. What is so bad about trade agreements, at least how they're being represented here?
Well, they are really are ways for corporations to gather more power and for the United States to force other countries around the world and even the United States in our own country to move away from public services to treating things like health care as commodities. And so one thing this trade agreement does is it expands on something that we saw in NAFTA. It gives corporations the power to sue governments if they lose profits from a new environmental law, a new labor law, a new health law, a new law controlling big finance. So if a corporation is invested in Vietnam and they pass a labor law, that corporation can sue Vietnam for the profits they expected to get.
Yes, that's exactly the point. Yeah, and I that's the one thing that I'm actually most against in this agreement, because basically they're using a financial reason, the potential profits that they might have made, to abrogate the sovereignty of the countries that signed this treaty.
Exactly.
It's fascism.
Exactly.
It's naked fascism, and it's being done in secret. And Kevin, I don't know if you know this or not, but just as a full disclosure announcement, I was involved with Elisa Simmons from Public Citizen. And Elisa, in January and February of this year, did a tour around Florida where she went to several cities and held teach-ins. And that sparked a movement all across Florida called Floridians Against the Trans-Pacific Partnership. There's a website with that same name. I was instrumental in working with Elisa to start that down here. And we've had multiple events on the TPP. We had a big one in March in Tampa in Ybor City at the Roosevelt 2.0. That was a great event. We actually had a march afterwards, too, into the port of Tampa and educated people by handing out flyers, et cetera, and speaking to people. So there is a groundswell of action taking place in Florida and across the country. And I know you're part of that, too. And that's why I'm so excited to have you on the program, because we're working together on this. This is such a terrible thing. It absolutely has to be stopped.
Yeah. And
it can be stopped. It can be stopped. You know,
yes,
there have been 13 trade agreements stopped since 2000. And they've been stopped because people have protested. And as a result, governments can't negotiate away the people's rights. And we can stop this trade agreement. We can definitely stop this trade. They're having trouble.
Yeah.
And the more public and more aggressive we get, the better chances we have.
And one other thing I wanted to mention as well is that the Progressive Democrats of America, they did phone banking over the weekend regarding resisting and ending the Trans-Pacific Partnership Treaty. And there should have been over 207 members of Congress that had their voicemail boxes full when they arrived today, Monday, this morning at work, because activists were inundating the voicemail boxes of at least 207 of the U.S. representatives with anti-TPP messages. So I was greatly encouraged by that and the great work of Progressive Democrats of America.
The key thing you have to know about this, though, is very important. I think this is very important in Florida, particularly because of the politics of the state. We are not going to stop this with just Democrats.
Well, we need
to have Republicans.
I agree.
Just like the war on Syria. It took a right-left Republican-Democrat alliance to make it happen.
Yes.
We're going to need the same thing here. And if Republicans, and there's starting to be Republicans opposed to it, by the way.
Yes, I think there will be.
None of them, Michelle Bachmann is opposed to it. She's writing letters to other Republicans to get them involved. Walter Jones from North Carolina is also opposed. Of course, you have Alan Grayson in Florida, who's key on the Democratic side.
Yes,
so people
yes.
are starting to get organized. I think we can see this kind of right-left alliance and stop this trade agreement.
So where does it stand right now, Kevin? I know that they, at least I understood they were going to have some meetings in Canada. I don't know if they're having meetings stateside. Where does it stand
right
now?
Yeah, well, they've done 19 rounds of negotiations. They just had another round of negotiations with top negotiators last week. But they're in trouble because the key issue right now is fast track. Fast track is something Congress has to pass that would give President Obama the power to sign this treaty without Congress. He's signed it. And then Congress gets an up or down vote after it's already signed and put into effect. And that's a rushed vote without any kind of serious hearings, no amendments allowed. And so Congress is pretty much, you know, shuffled off to the side. And that's the only way they're going to pass this, is if they get fast track, because fast track helps to prevent transparency. If there's transparency, we win. If people know what's in this, we win. And so what they wanted to try to pass fast track last June. And they couldn't. They still have not introduced it. Now they're talking about introducing it in December, and I think that's because they're starting to get pushback from the citizens and from some elected people who see this as a problem.
So absolutely,
that's
yes.
That's the battle. That's the battle. Say no to fast track. Say yes to transparency. We win those two, and we've won this fight.
Yeah, well, fast track is just absolutely unacceptable. You know, that effort to give the president that kind of power started during the Nixon administration. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Richard Nixon with fast track authority? No president should have that kind of authority, period.
Well, we wouldn't have had NAFTA or WTO without fast track. Clinton would not have been able to do it without fast track. And Obama can't do this without fast track. And really, it's a turn of the Constitution on its head, because the Commerce Clause gives Congress the responsibility to negotiate trade between nations, not
Correct.
The president. Just like with the war, it's the Congress that declares war, not the president. So when it came to Congress and people started talking about it, it became very unpopular very quickly. The same would be true with the TPP. If it goes to Congress, Congress does its constitutional responsibility, does not give its power to President Obama with no checks and balances, well, then we can stop this. And I think we have a chance of stopping with or without fast track. But without fast track, Obama cannot pass this.
Well, Kevin, in addition to your website, can you give us a sense of how many organizations are involved in trying to prevent this PPP from happening? And
the popularresistance.org is a website that deals generally with the resistance movement in this country. And I think you'll really find it an enjoyable site. You can sign up for either weekly or daily reports on what's going on in the resistance movement. So that's a really cool site. The flushthetpp.org site, Flush the TPP, Toilet Paper Plus.
I love that.
FlushTPP is .org is focused on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We have a lot of different organizations involved in that. We work a lot with groups like Citizens Trade Campaign, and there's been letters that have been sent around that have been signed by communities all over the country. Hundreds of different community groups and even local governments have signed on opposing the TPP. So this is getting to be a pretty mass number of organizations getting involved. We've seen now the AFL-CIO, the Teamsters, the communication workers, trying to speak out strongly on the TPP. Those are very key groups. We've got big memberships, and they can make a big difference in helping us stop this. So having the AFL-CIO, Teamsters, and TWA involved is a big step. Public Citizens is a very key group doing the inside game in Washington, D.C. They're doing great work on that front. So there are really a lot of different, and there's all the local groups, like you mentioned, your Florida effort. That's happening all over the country. And so we're starting to build. It's not, it needs to get to more of a fever pitch, but it's hard to get to a fever pitch because they can't even introduce the bill for fast track. They're already having trouble with that. So they plan to do that now in December. We'll see if they can keep. They've missed every deadline before this. We'll see if they can keep up with that one. But we are trying to make this so radioactive and so unpopular that they will not even introduce fast track. That's our goal, is to stop it before it's even born.
Well, it already is. So all we have to do is just basically publicize it and get the politicians on our side, and we've won. It's just that simple in my view.
No, in fact, the former trade representative who just resigned about 6 months ago, he negotiated most of the TPP. His name is Ron Kirk.
Yes.
He's the former mayor of Dallas. He's now working for a lobby firm that represents transnational corporations, and when the media asked him why they're being so secretive about this trade agreement, he said because if the people knew what was in it, it'd be so unpopular it could not become law. And that's the truth. If people knew what was in it, it could not become law.
Yes.
And in fact, there was the top negotiator for Chile resigned a few months ago for the same reasons. He said this is a neoliberal takeover. Big finance is going to run free. We can't control our health. We can't control our food. If TPP becomes law, we really lose our control of our economic and social system. So he resigned in protest, this top trade negotiator from Chile. So this is a really interesting battle. And what's great about this battle is two things. One, it creates solidarity across issues because it affects everything. It affects food, water, air, energy, environment, internet, health care, finance regulation, banking. Everything is affected by this. So it affects every issue. So really any group anyone who's working on any issue to try to improve this country will have a harder time if this becomes law. So it's solidarity for us. We can bring everybody together. The second thing is if we win, if we stop this, we will have stopped a war. We will have stopped the largest trade agreement negotiated in decades. We will have shown the people can stop transnational corporate power. The people can stop the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
We have power we didn't realize. And so, and we see that, by the way. If you look at popularresistance.org, what you're going to see there is constant activism around the country. People are doing things that, and I'm sure you don't even get all the reports, but we do as best we can to cover what's going on in the resistance movement, and it's phenomenal. This movement is growing and getting stronger, getting deeper, getting more community connected. Occupy is not doing encampments anymore, but it is building community, and not just its new communities, its own communities, but building with existing communities and trying to work with people to solve their problems in mutual aid and in working together to face up to issues that are ignored by our dysfunctional and corrupt government. So,
And I know that in Florida, when Lisa Simmons from Public Citizen came into Florida and started doing her trainings, the groundswell against the TPP just came out of nowhere. It all of a sudden was all over the state. I was very encouraged by that. And we also want to talk to you, Kevin, about the second anniversary of the Occupy movement in October 2011.org. What's your perspective on the second anniversary of Occupy?
Well, we have an article coming out on Truth Out on Wednesday that will go into that in detail. But our basic perspective is that Occupy is here in not in encampments, but in the philosophy of Occupy and the activism we generated. It's not as visible because the media doesn't cover it, but that doesn't matter. It's doing incredible work. Whether it's the mutual aid work of Occupy Sandy or Occupy Oklahoma when there are tornadoes, or Occupy Boulder now when there are floods out there, where people come to the aid of each other and build community and build relationships that way, that's happening across the country. Whether it's there's a great project that was announced on the anniversary of Occupy, the Occupy Money Cooperative. I recommend people Google it if they don't know about it. It's they're going to start with an Occupy credit card or not really more of an ATM card.
And that was Occupy Money Collective?
Cooperative.
Cooperative.
And it's going to be a cooperative banking system where the members own it and run it. And it'll be they're going to encourage you to form similar groups in, around the country. This one's starting in New York. You can buy it. You can get their money card, which is their first product. It'll be a money card. You can get that, and you can use it like a credit card. But you know, and it's going to compete with the big banks to show them you don't have to have all these hidden fees.
Oh, that's so cool!
It's really trying to reach out to the people who can't get banking.
Yes,
the people who for financial limitations. Are not acceptable to banks. And so it's going to try to reach that, and there are millions of people along those lines. That's not a small group. So that's another example. Another example is the Occupy Our Homes project, which is just incredible. It's a great book out right now by an occupier, Laura Gochsteiger, called A Dream Foreclosed, that looks at the national occupier homes movement. There are hundreds of families who have been kept out of eviction.
Yes,
and who have been stopped, foreclosure stopped. So there's example after example after example of people doing great work. I'm sure most of the people involved in our protest today at the U.S. Trade Representative came from the Occupy movement as well. We took over that building, draped it in protest banners of their secret agreement. And so that was also kind of came out of Occupy. And so much kind of by showing the courage of the public encampment, Occupy has spurred the whole movement on the low-wage workers and Walmart workers protesting. It's spurred the movement of students and teachers and communities protesting the closing of public schools. So you can look at a lot more ferment of protest and resistance happening since Occupy occurred. And I think one reason that is because the government continues to ignore the people's needs and is unable to respond to what people want. And the corruption and dysfunction of government and, putting in place laws like the TPP, or trying to, that rig the system for the 1%, is why people are going to end up protesting more and more, and why you're going to see this kind of movement grow rather than shrink. So I think it's an incredible time. And when you get beyond the corporate media and open your eyes and see what's going on, it's a pretty vast movement that's getting stronger all the time.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%, Kevin. And, I had a distinct pleasure, I know, of working with you and several others in organizing the Occupy that happened at Freedom Plaza with October 2011. And
yes, we were there.
I believe, all the time that, I worked with you and Margaret and others in organizing that, I don't think we fully understood how long-term an impact that was going to have along with the other movements. And so I'm pleased to hear you kind of reminding us of what happened, not only with that particular beginning there of the occupations, but what grew out of it. I've been involved in the low-wage workers campaigns as well. And, of course, housing takeovers with Sherry Honkla and the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. And so, this kind of all-encompassing action and activity that's happening is so important, and we really appreciate having you on and giving your perspective.
Great talking with you.
As someone who's worked in this for years, but also been involved in the movements of late, and sharing with you being a part of the Green Shadow Cabinet and the importance of that in the statements that we've issued on various issues. I know that I issued a statement as a shadow cabinet member as far as the effects of TPP and how it relates to poverty and how it will increase poverty in America. And so it really is just encouraging to have you on and to see that this movement continues to grow. And I know you're right in the midst of, workshops and actions happening as we speak. So I don't want to keep you. I know you've got a pretty busy schedule. But
yeah, I appreciate that. I just urge you to check out popularresistance.org. You'll be amazed by it. And I'd recommend you sign up for either the daily or the weekly news summary as well. It'll just keep you invigorated. You'll know that you're not alone in working for transformative change.
Yeah, well, I saw you up at the Democracy Convention in Madison, Wisconsin, too. And I was,
oh, cool, yeah.
It was so busy that I didn't have a chance to speak with you before we left, but you blew out of town. But it was great to see you up there as well.
Yeah, and
that was a good conference.
Yeah, it was.
You know, just all of these movements happening at this time, I think, show, and we of course, need to be reminded, because there are many of us who feel like, well, where have we come since September 17th, 2 years ago, 2011, we've come a long way, and we're continuing to go a long way. And I do again want to thank you.
That's how we actually start the article in Truth Out this Wednesday. Is we say, you know, it's amazing that in 2 years we've come so far and done so much, and yet the corporate media says we don't exist.
Well, yeah. The best way for them to handle this is to try to ignore that we exist. But you can't ignore a movement that's become. Really, it's worldwide. It was worldwide even before we in the United States embraced it.
That's right. We were late joiners.
So, again, I want to thank you, Kevin, for being on. And give my best to Margaret and everybody involved there. And we'll talk again soon.
Okay, keep the good work.
Thank you. That was Kevin Zeis, and he is an organizer around the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreements. He's all as far as organizing protests and actions against it. He's also with the Green Shadow Cabinet, and was also one of the organizers of the original Occupy movements. And was a real honor to have him on. And we will have guests on like this in the future. I just want to remind everybody that not only are we on 1340 AM, we are also on 1350 AM in Plant City and 1400 AM in Dade City. We're also podcasted. You'll get a podcast of this show if you go online to 10talk1340.com. Sometime tomorrow you can get today's show as well as previous shows. And of course you can find out more about us by contacting us at 727-278-1547. We're about to go into a break in just a minute.
And yes, we're going to be going to news and weather, etc., for 5 minutes at the bottom of the hour. And this, I want to remind you that this is Spectrum 360. This program is live Mondays at 11 p.m. on WTN, a weekly program. It is progressive. And once again, I do want to thank Kevin Zeis for coming on the program. It was a real pleasure and honor to have him on the program. He and myself and Bruce were some of the first three of us were some of the first 600 people in Freedom Plaza for October2011.org. So that was a great event. We're going to go to break, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes. We're going to have Lee Camp. We're going to have Tom Earl. We're going to have a mess of stuff for you. Also, the interview with John Nichols, part one of a three-part series.
NBC News Radio, I'm Bart Necker. Kenyan security forces are reportedly in full control of the shopping mall in Nairobi that was attacked by terrorists. More than 60 civilians have been killed. NBC's Ron Allen is in Nairobi.
There's been no evidence of what actually happened during this day of explosions, barrages of gunfire, sometimes gunfire spilling out into the neighborhoods beyond the mall.
In New York, for the UN's annual fall meetings, President Obama condemned the tragedy in Nairobi.
This, I think, underscores the degree to which all of us as an international community have to stand against the kind of senseless violence that these kinds of groups represent.
Facing a possible firing, Lois Lerner, the Internal Revenue Service official at the center of the agency's Tea Party scandal, has retired. At the closing bell on Wall Street, the major indexes were down. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed 49 points lower. This is NBC News.
There are leaf blowers, and then there are fuel-injected luxury leaf blowers. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Autumn Event. Now get 0.9% APR, plus the confidence of a 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned. Luxurious by any standards. Certified by ours. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services Limited Term Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by 9/30/13. See dealer for limited warranty and complete details.
If you've ever wanted to design your own ring, there's only one place to go.
That's Jared.
At Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, it's easy to create a ring that's yours and yours alone. First, choose from hundreds of beautiful settings. Then select from thousands of loose diamonds, including the spectacular Leo Artisan Diamond, independently certified to be visibly brighter and available exclusively at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
This is the Rays Report.
In their last regular season home game of the season, the Rays made it awful dramatic.
0-1, the hard-throwing righty pitches. Fly ball down the right field line, hooked to the corner. Did he get enough? This one is gone! A pitch hit, walk-off homer, the first of the year for the Rays. James Loney gets it done. It's a four-game sweep, and the Rays are still in first place in the wild card with six to go.
Tampa Bay came back from deficits of 3-1 and 4-2 to beat the Orioles and sweep the series. And now they head on the road for six games against AL East foes, the Yankees and the Blue Jays. Rays find themselves the wild card leader and need to win at least four to, at worst, get themselves a play-in game in the playoffs. Rays on the air at 6:30 with Matt Moore on the Hill. With the Rays Report, I'm Neil Solons.
Catch the Rays all season on the Rays Baseball Network. For tickets, visit RaysBaseball.com.
When you say Angie's, then everybody thinks of Angie's on
Cleveland
and Myrtle, that's been there like forever.
Since 1965, actually, and it is the same owner. She just opened a location on Drew Street to expand a little. So same exact menu and same exact food.
For me, this is like the ultimate deal. It's the chef's special sirloin steak with two large eggs and home fries or grits with toast.
Yep.
For $4.99.
So cheap. I don't think you can make that meal at home for that cheap. Plus, you don't have to do dishes, you don't have to cook it, and you get to see my smiling face.
Angie's Grill, real home-style cooking, 1732 Drew Street, right across from the 7-Eleven, just west of Keene in Clearwater. Carry out or dine in. Call 727-441-2644. That's 441-2644. Or just Google Angie's Grill.
Imus in the morning.
Motivational guru, Tony Robbins.
The world was in a panic over the news that the North Koreans launched a new missile. I say, good for them. Clearly, they've been suffering from a severe case of missile envy. They look at our big Minuteman missiles and think it's intimidating. The Russians have big ones too, like the SS-19. That's a lot of missile. Even the Chinese are packing. They have a missile called the DF-5, the Dongfang, which incidentally is their biggest dong. After a while, it's only natural for the North Koreans to wonder if their missile is as big as everybody else's. Our diplomats have tried to tell them that it's not the size but accuracy that matters. The ability to hit the right spots. That and long flight times. We know the North Koreans have had a very hard time keeping their missiles up. They launch them and then 2 minutes later, it's all over. Then they have to deal with an unsympathetic world looking at them going, is that it? After this successful launch, the North Koreans have a twinkle in their eye and a little pep in their step. The rest of the world can relax now. After 10 years of trying, the North Koreans are probably going to need to take a long, long nap.
Catch Imus in the morning right here.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Spectrum 360, we're back.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Well, yes, that's what we're trying to do. And we've got a comedy segment coming up here. I want to prep this just a little bit and tell you about Lee Camp. Lee Camp is a young man who's a great political comedian. And we just spoke with Kevin Zeese in the first half of the program. And we were reminiscing about October2011.org back in 2011 in October, surprisingly enough, in Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C. We were the three of the first 600 people that started the occupation of the D.C. Plaza to protest the things that are going on in the country right now. That was a great experience. One of the comedians that appeared on the stage at Freedom Plaza was Lee Camp, and the guy is great. We're going to give you just a couple minutes just to give you a kind of a refresher taste, and then we're going to come back with some announcements. We've got a poem by Tom Earle, which is dynamite, and we got more stuff as well. So we're going to go right to Lee Camp now for about a couple of minutes of comedy.
And the native
just had dream catchers, all right? It's not easy to win a war when you're trying to stab someone with a peace pipe. You know, let's tell kids the truth for once. Yeah. And here's something else. That dirty, unsettling history of America, at least it's interesting. At least the kids would be riveted. Like, they would be hiding outside of class under the bleachers reading the steamy deep. And then they might think they could do something. They'd be like, hey, I'm screwed in the head. My heroes were screwed in the head. Maybe I can do something. Maybe I can land somewhere with 20 million inhabitants and say I discovered it. And ski masks. They wear Armani suits and neckties. Let's teach them that. Let's teach them how to have some sympathy, how to see a homeless person and give them some change or some heroin. You know, let's teach them sympathy rather than just teaching them, hey, in fifth grade dodgeball, throw the ball at the kid with the circus-like obesity and cross eyes because he always dodges the wrong direction. You know, let's teach them, and then we wouldn't end up with the Michelle Bachmans of the world, who recently, she recently said the founding fathers worked tirelessly to end slavery. Which is interesting, since they couldn't end it on their own property. She expects us to believe George Washington woke up every morning, looked out his window, and was like, why won't you leave? There's something amazing about seeing a politician stand in front of millions of people, thousands of people, and be like, if elected, I will make sure you don't have health care. And they're like, yay! Bet the other guy couldn't promise me that.
I'm a politician, which means I'm a cheat and a liar. And I'm not kissing babies. I'm stealing them.
So that was Lee Camp. That was in October 2011 in Freedom Plaza at October2011.org. He was great. He went on for hours and really entertaining.
Some people say we on the left are humorless. I got to say, that's some funny crap right there.
It was very
good. And I do remember him at the occupation in Freedom Plaza. He was a lot of fun.
And we're going to try to get him on the program sometime in the next 2 weeks, hopefully.
Yeah, maybe even spend the whole hour with him. We'll see. And
oh my gosh, could you stand a whole hour if I left yourself?
I don't know, man. You know, we might get to all kinds of calls and complaints. No, but you know, that would be the kind of complaints we'd want. But you know, we've got some other people to thank. And while Mark is queuing up the next segment here, I just want to again thank all the people that support what we're doing here, and that includes Relax at Home. Licensed massage. Yes. You know, I never can say massage right. Licensed massage therapist.
Well, that's because you're relaxed already.
Relaxed. And she does a great job. I can attest to it. I've gotten massages myself.
Did you come to your house before the program?
That's why I'm so mellow. But anyway, you can call Patricia at 813-784-7485. Also, there's a new recovery program out there. I know they have some shows on this station dealing with addictions. And this place is called My Place in Recovery. And it's not My Place, but that's the name of it, My Place in Recovery. And you can reach them at 727-244-0427. We'd also like to thank the Catholic worker in St. Petersburg. If you may recall, last week we had Kathleen Rumpf. We love that name. On our show last week. And that
I was
going to
make some bad jokes about that. I've restrained
myself
so far. Well,
you know what? She's really got a good sense of humor. And you can find out more about the Catholic worker by... of course, going on the World Wide Web or CatholicWorker.org. Locally, you can reach us at 727-278-1547. And then finally, we'd like to thank the League of Revolutionaries for New America, LRNA.org. Every time I say that name, too, I think of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen or some other kind of...
Yeah, I do, too,
what's
actually.
The other one?
There's a million of them.
There's the League with Superman and Batman and all that in there.
There's the Suncoast Animal League where we got our last dog. Great animal rescue
that's
place.
True.
There's a lot of leagues out there.
Yes, there's lots of leagues, and not the least of which is the baseball leagues, and I'm not sure how the Rays are doing. I think it was mentioned earlier. But, you know, speaking of popular media, we're going to have a little comment after this next segment about everybody's favorite show to love, hate, Breaking Bad, which is a wonderful, I don't know if wonderful is not the word to characterize it. It's kind of fun that...
Interesting.
It's kind of fun that a show like that, and, of course, one of my favorites, The Walking Dead, which will be also coming back on the air. I think it's the second most popular show on cable besides Breaking Bad. So, anyway, you can tell Mark and I have some twisted tastes, I guess. But we'll hear a little bit about that, the final show coming up of Breaking Bad. And we have a segment here now from... well, Mark, why don't you tell us about it?
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Okay. This is Tom Earle. Tom Earle is a local poet and musician who's a friend of the program and familiar to us. I've seen Tom Earle perform, and he's great. We did an event that was poetry, basically a progressive poetry event, a few months ago at Cafe Hay. Cafe Hay. In Tampa, and he was great.
Hello,
I saw
hello,
him perform
hello.
There. Yeah, he was better than that. And he's got a great album out, and we're going to play a cut for you from it right now, just to give you a flavor of what he does. The name of the track, it's actually spoken word with percussion accompaniment, and it's Dark Like the Contradiction of the Word Itself.
There's this storm in my brain, and it's swirling around like tsunami rains, as dark as secret passageways. Dark like sun rays blocked by campaigns to instill into our brains this false concept of race. Dark like the skin of Jesus and Nefertiti. Dark like the beauty of African queens. Dark like not seeing that every woman is a queen. Dark like all those little white lies that my teachers told me. Dark like the contradiction of the word itself. Dark like when white and male are set in succession, it has no negative transgressions. But the inverse does not hold true, for we would all leave someone black and blue if they ever blackmailed you. Dark like comparing people's skin to food. Dark like historically when the European elite isolated their societies from people with dark skin, they plunged their countries into centuries of ignorance we now know as the Dark Ages. Like I said, dark like the contradiction of the word itself. Dark like my mood when youth tell me Dr. King freed the slaves in the 1960s. Dark like my thought process. Are these youth trying to be metaphorically deep, or have we as elders failed to teach them their history? Dark like my emotions when I'm tying my muffler to the back of my car with a shoelace and people say, "Hey, yo, Tom, you sure you ain't black?" Dark like schools of sharks following slave ships. Dark like mothers being hung by their feet. Dark like fathers being tied up and forced to watch on their knees. Dark like the womb cut open for all to see. Dark like the fetus that spills to the ground. Dark like the boot stopping new life into the ground. Dark like the fear instilled into all those who are watching. Dark like 500 years later, that fear still there. Dark like these torture tactics are still in practice in Sierra Leone, Darfur, and places where they're still enslaving people who are dark like blood diamonds before they're clean. Dark like we know they're blood diamonds, but still we be buying them. Dark like 1 in 6 women are the victim of sexual assault. Dark like those statistics are much worse, but only takes into account those who report. Dark like if she says no, but you feel like, well, that's my right as a husband to take. There's no way to escape, my brother. That's called rape. Dark like only 50% of minorities are graduating from high school. Dark like when we say minorities, that's just a politically correct way of saying people who are dark like the night the FBI shot Fred Hampton 65 plus times while he slept in a room that was dark like that many bullets means they were reloading and then exploding and then reloading and then exploding and then reloading and then exploding. Dark like being taught to stay out of the sun so you don't get dark like different forms of hate passed on from generation to generation to generation. Dark like the contradiction of the word itself. Dark like without it, You couldn't see the constellations. Dark like India, dark like Australia, dark like Africa, dark everything like Lupe Fiasco's dreams. Dark beautiful like Q and you, because you'd never find Q without her friend you. So let's have the same be true for dark and beautiful. I don't ever want to see or hear dark without beautiful associations again, because maybe then when I say dark, you'll think beautiful. And when I say dark, you'll think beautiful. And when I say dark, you'll think beautiful. And maybe then we won't have any more contradictions of the word itself, because you see, to me, I believe dark is beautiful.
Wow. That's some heavy...
Well, isn't that special?
That's some heavy... I won't use the word because you can on the radio, but that is some... That is some sick,
awesome
stuff, man. That's cool. Cool stuff. It would be great to have him on sometime. I'm sure we need to invite him to Mona Lisa's poetry night at...
Well, Mr. Earl is temporarily in Los Angeles trying his luck out there, but I believe he'll be coming back, and he has offered to come on the program via telephone. I'd like to talk to him when he's out in L.A., and when he comes back, we definitely want to get him in the studio. He's a fine poet.
It might even be a good thing to have him on and Mona and just have a whole night devoted to poetry. I have some myself I'd love to share. Boy, that was some great stuff, though. And, you know, I'm sure some people in our listening audience might have been overwhelmed by that and might be thinking, wow, you guys really do push the envelope here. And that's what we intend to do, because we don't want this show to be the status quo. You know, status quo sucks, doesn't it, Mark?
Well, I think I can sum up Tom Earl's kind of a vibe there with this. Yeah, that was a rumble poem. I mean, that was just like, wow.
Yeah, that was scandalous in the best sense of the word. Well, Mark, we have something else coming up too, don't we? Something from John Nichols, is that right?
Yes. We got John Nichols coming up right now. We're going to try to fit it in before the end of the program. And as promised, this is part one of a three-part series from John Nichols, speaking live in Madison, Wisconsin at the Madison Concourse Hotel. This was in conjunction, at the same time, this was a Progressive Democrats of America event that he spoke at, but there was also the Democracy Convention happening right across the street. And in the same hotel, there was the National Convention of Veterans for Peace. It was a wild weekend with a lot of progressives there. In the area. It was very interesting. And I'm going to get to John Nichols now. Again, this is a three-part series. He's speaking basically about money in politics, corporate power, as it relates to the two major parties and the progressive movement in this country. And it's rather interesting, and he's rather humorous as well. So, Bruce, let me just get this up here so
Mark,
we can get this going.
How many progressives does it take to change a light bulb?
Oh, I'm afraid to ask.
Well, it's hard to tell because they always defer to each other.
This Eisenhower idea is alive in
John
American
Nichols.
Politics today. It is alive to some extent in the Republican Party. There are Republicans, and you believe me, I'm rational about this. You know, I'm not going to tell you that Rand Paul is a useful human being. Although I liked him when he was talking about drones.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you he's a useful human being, but I will tell you that Rand Paul, do you know why Chris Christie and Liz Cheney, who doesn't live in Wyoming, and all these people are so angry at Rand Paul? They hate Rand Paul. They really don't like him. And they've been banging away at him. Hannity's banging away at him. You hear all these conservatives banging away at Rand Paul because he says that if you're going to balance the budget, you got to bring the military, the Pentagon, into the process, because you can't balance any budget unless you address the military waste as well as preparation for wars that were never. Rand Paul's right about that. There's a congressman named Justin Amash. He is a very conservative congressman from Michigan. And believe me, you don't want Justin Amash getting anywhere near your Social Security. You don't want Justin Amash getting anywhere near public education. But Justin Amash was the guy who went into that Pentagon budget and proposed the amendment to take down the spying and to limit all the NSA abuses. And Justin Amash, right winger from Michigan, co-sponsored his bill with John Conyers, the congressman from the other part of Michigan. So you understand what I'm saying. There's something alive in America. It is unfortunately on the fringes of both major parties. But the reason that Progressive Democrats of America is such an exciting group is because it proudly stands on the fringe of the Democratic Party. It does. Anybody tells you that PDA is in the mainstream of the Democratic Party is lying to you. That is not the case. Well, unfortunately, the man up front says. But PDA stands on the fringe of the Democratic Party because the center of the Democratic Party has failed us. The center of the Democratic Party, understand this, the center of the Democratic Party led the fight for NAFTA.
That's right.
And for China free trade. And for doing away with Glass-Steagall protections. The center of the Democratic Party is Rahm Emanuel in Chicago firing 3,000 teachers. So you don't want that. You don't want that. You don't want to go to the center of the Democratic or the Republican Party right now. You want to stand in that honest place. If you're a libertarian Republican, you want to stand with Justin Amash. If you're a progressive, you want to stand with John Conyers. But what you ought to recognize is you're not on the fringe of the American discourse, just of the political parties, because the heart of the American discourse today says in poll after poll after poll, Americans want single-payer Medicare for all health care. So a capable child can go all the way through graduate school without ladling on debts that will paralyze the community. And Americans want policies and priorities that spend our precious tax dollars at home on human needs, not raging around the world looking for wars that we should not be fighting. American people do not have a politics that is as wise and as decent as they are, and you have gathered today to begin the process of giving them what they need most of all. You want to give America democracy, not dollarocracy. Let's talk about this concept of dollarocracy, because it's a mighty creative word. I do say so myself. Now, here's the interesting thing. We all kind of know what democracy is. Now, we don't know real well because we've never experienced it, but we have heard talk of democracy. Now, democracy, I don't want to talk about democracy in such a way. I'm not going to go like some Greek guy sitting on an island, and you know, like you know the scene in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure when they travel back through time.
So great.
Some of you guys are too young to have seen Bill and Ted, but Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is this great. It's probably the best philosophical movie of recent decades. And there are these two stoner teenagers who can't finish their high school history report, and then George Carlin shows up in a phone booth and says, "You can dial the year on the phone." And then we'll fly in the phone booth back to these times, and we'll pick up the historical figures and bring them in, and they'll help you do your report. You can imagine why I saw this as a very useful film. But in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, they go back to Greek times, right? And they got the, you know, Socrates, who they can't pronounce his name, so they call him Socrates. Then they go back to the old Wild West, and they pick up Billy the Kid, and they call him Mr. the Kid, and Miss of Ark. And so they go all through time and get all these people, right? But the interesting thing is that when they're back with the Greeks, and the Greeks are so smart, and they tell us everything, and they know everything, and, oh, yeah, you really can't understand democracy unless you go back and listen to what the Greeks said. You know, well, anyway, so they got Socrates there. They're trying to figure out stuff, and Ted, who may not be the sharpest of Bill and Ted, is like looking at him, trying to figure out, he speaks Greek, Ted speaks English, how can they communicate? And Ted, many of you will remember this, Kansas. I believe it's Kansas. Ted goes up, because they're rockers, right? So they only know rock lyrics. And he looks at Socrates, he picks up some sand, and he drops it, and he goes, through the sands of the hourglass. And Socrates getting a little of that, and then he takes another bit of sand and he blows it and he says, all we are is dust in the wind. And all the Greeks are like, whoa, you are the smartest guys ever. So I'm not going to give you the whole delineation of doing democracy.
Okay, that's our first segment with John Nichols.
He was funny himself. I actually remember seeing Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I don't know if what that says about me. I'm back at the University of South Florida.
I've never seen it, and I'm not going to admit to it if I did.
Well, you know, hey, it's George Carlin. You can't go wrong with George Carlin. But anyway, it was actually one of Keanu Reeves' earliest movies. So.
And now listen to this. Now, everybody who's been watching cable television for the last 5 years probably knows what that is. That is the theme music for Breaking Bad.
Oh,
and the reason I wanted to mention it is because the series, the final season, which is season 5, and the final episode is next week, this coming Sunday night, 9 p.m. on AMC American Movie Classics. It's the last program with the cast and crew. So everybody's kind of mourning the end of the series. And have you been watching Talking Bad at all?
Yeah, I have. And it really is very interesting. You know, it's the same guy who does the kind of discussion after the Walking Dead series. And,
yeah, Chris Hardwick.
Right. And it's really interesting.
We should actually mention what it actually is. Talking Bad is a talk show about Breaking Bad, which has been airing for the last few episodes as we end the season. So it's a talk show about a drama.
Talk show about a drama, Talking Bad.
Yes.
I've been in trouble before for Talking Bad, but anyway. Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't see it coming. But anyway, you know, that's an interesting thing as you look at cultural icons, and it has become that. Well, you've been listening to Spectrum 360. And we're glad to have had you on our show. Check us out at 10talk1340.com. You'll see a podcast of this show and other shows coming up. Coming up next week, we will again have some more segments with John Nichols.
Yes.
And also some other shows. Thank you for listening to Spectrum 360.
Yes. And remember, we want you to like us on Facebook. Please like us on Facebook. We want more likes.
We want to be liked.
Yes, we want to be liked. We will see you next week.